You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have sports, entertainment, and odd news ready to send your way. Go off on a tangent. That can happen as well when we go on these subjects. And we also have personal tangents, which I'm going to get into right now. We're kind of doing a little bit of a shortened episode for this week. Sorry to disappoint that it's not a full-blown... I mean, it might be two... When all is said and done, we might still might go 2 hours.
We always end up going longer anyway. Yeah, that's like the classic line that we always say. Oh, I'll just put in, you know, one or two stories, because we always end up going longer anyway.
Yeah.
Schedule has been weird.
The schedule's been weird this
past
week.
Few days.
Primarily because I got selected to... to do jury duty, and it's oh my gosh!
And you use this as your theme music.
I did. When I walked into the building. Oh yeah, I was like, yep.
And they just looked at you and said, "Get out."
They kind of did. But yeah, I got summoned for jury duty, and of course, like the first day was Tuesday, which kind of threw everything off for this week, because usually we record around Tuesday night. That seems to be like the sweet spot that works out for the podcast. But it threw everything off. And here's something else too that I didn't realize. Jury duty starts at like 8:30 in the morning, and of course I got selected for Philadelphia. I live in the suburbs.
That sucks.
So my commute into the city was just, I wanted to blow my brains out. It was because I had to wake up at like 5:30 so I could catch a train that would get me into the center city.
That sucks. And you know what doubly sucks is because they have a courthouse there in Norristown.
Yeah, I could have been in Norristown.
Yeah, you're like 10 minutes, right?
Oh, not even.
Not even.
Yeah.
Closer than that.
Oh, yeah.
You could have just rolled out of bed right to the, right to the courthouse.
Rolled down Markley Street right into, there you go. Right into the courtroom. So they,
I mean,
wow, this is a very unprofessional lawyer over here.
Also, why are you a lawyer?
Yeah.
I got selected for jury duty. I'm now a lawyer.
Isn't that how this works?
Of course. But so how did jury duty go? You had to wake up early. This was you told me it was a federal jury duty thing? That's why you had to go to Philly?
Yeah, that's why I got stuck in Philly. Somehow I got stuck on a federal case.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know how all this works. I want to speak to the people that pick juries, because, I don't know how I got stuck with a federal case in Philly. I don't know. Whatever.
What was the process like? Because I've never had to go. Like, it's come up. But you know how they call you, like, the night before if you need to go in or not? Well, I've never needed to go in. But is this your first time that you've actually had to do it?
Yeah.
What was it like?
It really wasn't that exciting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I know. It sounds...
I thought people were just going to be jumping up shouting, objection, and guilty.
Well, see, here's the thing. I didn't get selected for a jury.
Oh, so you, what, just like sat there?
Oh, all we did was sat in this like conference room.
Oh.
And we watched a video on how to be a juror. Which was the dumbest...
Is that the only training you get?
I shouldn't say the dumbest, because, you know, there's... It had Jim Gardner in it. Thank you, Jim Gardner.
Oh, wow. Well, that's cool.
But, like, some of the do's and don'ts on it was really ridiculous. Like, one of them was, like, don't interject in the case. Like, has that happened? Has a juror thought, like, I'm allowed to, like, comment on the case as it's happening?
Just providing commentary over there. They're like, geez, look at this guy. Clearly guilty.
Yeah. Like, what the?
Well, you know what the thing is? Whenever there's warnings like that, it means that it's actually happened.
Right.
Because they have to make a warning for it.
Right. Somebody actually probably did it.
So there was a case at one point where somebody did that. Yeah. Somebody jumped up and said something wild and crazy.
Yeah.
So you're not allowed to interject. What were the other do's and don'ts? Are you allowed to wear like shorts and a t-shirt?
No. Well...
Is there a dress code?
There is. They usually say business casual, but okay. I've noticed that the people in my generation just didn't give a crap.
Didn't give a crap?
Yeah. Which was, yeah. Which is, I don't know. I'm kind of two-faced on that one because I showed up.
You wore a three-piece suit.
Yeah. All right. I came here to jury. And
you think it's like a verb. I came to jury. And
right.
Doggone, I'm going to jury my heart out.
Exactly. Here I am. But I wore like something, you know, I would wear to work in, like a button-down shirt.
Yeah, something
dress
nice,
pants.
Yeah.
The people my age, they were showing up in like flip-flops, and it was like,
really?
That's not business casual.
Well, it depends where you work, I guess. If they work for some, you know, hipster, trendy tech place, they probably show up in like pajamas and whatever.
Well, then they need to let me know then. Because I felt out of place.
Because you would have showed up in flip-flops, right?
I would at least have been a little bit... I would at least have worn jeans. That would have been nice.
I think jeans probably would have been acceptable.
Yeah.
But now you know for next time.
Right. Oh, God. I hope
there's not a next time. 3 weeks from now. Surprise!
Yeah, you didn't get selected.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so the whole morning was just like, yeah, we watched this video on how to be a juror, and then we had to fill out paperwork for, like... Because you get paid like $40 a day or something.
Right.
Ooh. So big spender.
You have to fill out paperwork to get paid.
Yeah. At the crazy amount of $40.
Wow. Ooh. They probably spent more money on designing and printing out the forms. They could have just handed you an envelope with a couple 20s in it and called it a day.
Right. Especially if you're not going to use me on a case.
Yeah, really.
But
what'd you spend the $40 on?
I haven't gotten it yet because you had to fill out the paperwork, which is
going
to probably gonna take 3 months to.
Jeez.
Yeah, I'm probably going to get that when I'm 60.
Yeah, get a random check for $40.
What is this?
I remember that day when I served jury duty.
Yes,
back in 2017,
the fond year.
By that point, what's $40 going to buy you? Like a single loaf of bread, probably.
Yeah. So yeah, it was actually quite uneventful. And then at lunch that they broke us out, we could go to lunch. Oh, here's something I wanted to mention. Yeah. I'm so scatterbrained from this.
That's
whole
what jury duty does to you.
Cause like it just threw my whole week just out of whack.
Right.
Like, I mean,
it's a break from the normal routine, you know?
I mean, I know I should have like prepared for it. You know, but like I was kind of hoping, like, you know, call Mondays. Hopefully they say no, and you know everything's good. No, I got called in. But here's something that I didn't realize. It was because I was on a federal case. I had to enter a federal building, and I didn't know like all the requirements to go into a federal building.
Oh yeah, I think they're pretty strict.
All the people that designed Grand Theft Auto and that mission where you have to blow up the FIB building,
right?
That would never happen. There's no way that would happen, all right? I was supposed to be in the federal building. They were expecting me. In order for me to get into the building, I had to go through a metal detector.
Right.
I had to get patted down. I had to take off my belt, which I was a little disturbed with.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
Why the belt?
I know. What am I, Batman? Like,
Are they afraid like the metal thing is going to like set off the metal detector and they want to make sure?
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe because it was before we went through the metal detector.
Oh, that's probably why.
I don't know.
It's still
like when I feel like I'm stripping here.
Don't they have the wand though?
Yeah, give me the wand thing or something. Why?
So you had to strip.
Yeah,
and then came the probing. Yeah. Right?
No. Luckily, I didn't get probed. No,
they pull on the glove. All right, bend over.
But I had to show my photo ID, and I had to have the actual letter that was mailed to me, too.
Oh, wow. What happens if you forgot that?
I don't know. I guess you don't...
Do you, like, instantly arrested? And
you lose? I don't know.
You lose? I know. What's the punishment? There must be a punishment, right?
I don't know what it is. I didn't want to find out. But, oh, my gosh. So, well, but then what they don't tell you is when you break for lunch, you leave the building. So, guess what? When you come back from lunch... You got to do the whole process over again.
Well, yeah, because they don't want you bringing in something dangerous
gosh.
After lunch, you know?
I don't know. I guess maybe I'm an idiot. I don't know. I didn't think of that. Like, I was just like, oh, really? Like, There's no way Michael in Grand Theft Auto would have been able to blow up the FIB building with the janitor's outfit or whatever.
Yeah, there's way too much security.
Yeah.
You know, because as you're talking about this, I remember a trip I took in college to Washington, D.C., and we went to some, like, minor, little, tiny federal building, and it wasn't anything important, like a courthouse. It was just some, like attraction or something, and they had similar security, very, very strict security, with the pat-downs and the metal detectors, you know. So they take that stuff very seriously.
Yeah, so...
It's actually interesting, though, hearing about how... strict it is.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm an idiot and I'm just not used to government buildings.
Right. I wonder if do people that work there have to go through that every day?
Yeah, right? Does that
or do they or do they like know them and they're like, oh, sure. You know, come on in, Bob.
But then they're going to be the next terrorist because they're going to sneak something in.
Don't joke about that. Yeah, right? You never know. Yeah.
I don't know. I guess if you're working in a federal building, I guess you got to go through that all the time.
I guess so.
But man, that was a pain in the ass.
Right.
So, yeah, I guess it's just things I don't – things like I don't –
You don't consider that.
Right.
When you're getting ready.
It.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just thinking, like, oh, it's a jury case. Ooh.
Yeah, you'll just waltz into the building.
Right. No, I forgot it's a federal – oh, by the way, since it was a federal building, too, it was surrounded by Secret Service and U.S. Marshals.
Wow.
So, yeah. I definitely couldn't – I definitely could not be myself. Let's put it that way. I can't come in and lead
– Hey, how's everybody doing?
Yeah, right? There's Tommy Lee Jones standing in front of me. Samuel Gerard.
So what you're saying is you didn't play the Law and Order music.
Yeah, I couldn't have gotten away. Maybe in Norristown I'll get away with that.
Well, hopefully your next one is in Norristown so you can play the music.
Yeah. Because I would have liked to have been able to do this. But
in Norristown, Rich Liebig must appear before the Norristown area court. I don't know what else.
That's pretty much it.
These are his stories.
Wow, I'm there multiple times. Great. Yeah.
Well, that's how Law and Order always ends, isn't it? These are their stories.
Yeah.
And then dun dun.
Yeah. So, with that in mind, we're recording late on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
So we're gonna do kind of a quick run through of the show for this week, which also includes a special Law and Order themed, a special Law and Order themed. Non-fortunate cookie odd news, which is going to be hilarious. So make sure you listen to the whole episode.
Picked
this
out
week.
Some good ones for you guys.
Yeah, with wacky law stories. So there you go. That was the big news in my week that screwed up my whole schedule. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good. And you know what? There's one other thing that we have to mention about this episode. This is officially 4 years.
Wow.
That the podcast has been, the Crispy Noodle has been around. Get this, if you're listening to this on the day it comes out Thursday, February 23rd, it has been exactly 4 years to the day our first podcast came out, February 23rd, 2013.
Wow.
Yeah.
Four-year birthday.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Go back and listen to that first episode. I might do that. Yeah. I might do that this weekend. Go back and listen to the very first episode. Things have changed a lot.
Yeah.
We had no intro.
Yeah.
We had no outro.
Nope.
We had I don't even think we had segments back then, did we?
No, not like, I think we had like an idea of what we wanted to do for segments, but I don't think we
actually
broke it
down. I don't think we had like sports sample or an entertainment entree, or if we did, we didn't have like music.
The intro, the appropriate bumpers and stuff like that. Yeah.
We've streamlined
right
the process here.
Yeah. So.
A little bit more professional.
So, yay us.
Mamma mia! Yeah.
What does this guy think? He's an Indian?
Like, such as?
She's a human!
Woo, yeah! 4 years.
I always get very, you know, like nostalgic around this time of year, thinking 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Could you, like...
I called
thinking
you,
back on it.
I called you up.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, Mike, you want to do a podcast?
I'll always remember that phone call. Like, you want to do a podcast? And I'm like, sure.
Look at what you signed up for.
Yeah, and I remember those early times that we were meeting and going over it, trying to decide, what do we want to talk about? You know, well, let's just talk about what we always talk about, sports, entertainment. And we just threw odd news in there.
Yeah, wacky stories.
Wacky
always,
stories,
like,
yeah.
You know, hear it.
And... did you hear about this crazy thing that happened?
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's been such a long and crazy journey.
What, yep.
4 years.
What a long and strange trip it's been.
Yeah.
So, and we're glad that you joined us for the ride here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yes.
Wow. 4 years.
Hopefully many more episodes to come.
Yes.
At least one more if you count this one. At least that much is guaranteed.
Yeah. Or jury duty grabbed both of us.
At the same time.
Yeah, at the same time.
Could you imagine if they put us on the same case? Oh, my God.
Hey, can you believe this guy? He's an idiot.
Can you believe this? Oh, this is like that odd news story we had. People are like, shut up! What are you talking about?
This is just like that Florida guy that stuck the thing up his butt.
Remember that woman who had the cocaine up her hoo-ha? And the cop who snorted it straight out of it, you know, like, yeah. Something crazy like that. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, that would not be good.
Yeah.
So, there you go. 4 years. So, jury duty in 4 years. This has been a very eventful week.
Yeah. Very crazy week here at the Crispy Noodle headquarters. So, thank you for putting up with us for 4 years. And, thank you for tuning in on this week's episode. So, you know what? Without further ado, let's go into the news topics that we do want to discuss with you. And the first batch of topics is sports, so we call it the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Sports coming at you in your face in this segment.
Right in your face.
Yep, right in the face. And we're going to do a quick hit with this news topic in 2 minutes. So we call it the 2-minute drill. Are you ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right, let's launch the countdown and go, Mike. What do you got?
All right, well, this week in the 2-minute drill, we have a little bit of football news. Quite a big story that's been breaking, though, recently. So there's only one item in the 2-minute drill, but this is a big one, an important one. Former All-Pro cornerback Darrelle Revis is facing some serious questions both on and off the field. The 31-year-old NFL star was recently charged with 2 felony counts of aggravated assault, 1 felony count of robbery, 1 felony count of conspiracy, and get this, 1 misdemeanor of terroristic threats.
What?
I have no idea how you get charged for that.
What are you doing?
I don't know what Darrelle Revis is doing. I'm not sure, you know, what's going on with him.
Yeah, Revis Island's going to be Alcatraz Island.
I know, right? Well, that's the joke that's been going around. But Revis did turn himself into police, and he did make a non-monetary bond. And his lawyer is claiming that video evidence will prove his innocence. But meanwhile, we'll see. Basically what happened is 2 people were knocked unconscious, and a lot of people are saying that Revis is the one who did it. He punched them and knocked them out. It's all alleged, of course. Because they were following him with a camera and he got annoyed. So details are sketchy. It's all he said, she said. TMZ has a video. It's very tabloidish right now. So we'll wait to see if we can get more details. But that's not the only problems that Darrelle Revis is facing. On the field of play, Revis might not be returning to the Jets. With a $15 million salary and quickly declining performance, Revis could be a salary cap casualty for the New York Jets.
I thought so.
I mean, everything seems to be just a downward spiral for Darrelle Revis right now. And this is somebody who, for so long, had been the top of his position.
Yeah, this is a pretty big downfall.
It's really sad to see this, but you know what? When it rains, it pours.
Poor Revis. Yeah, in all seriousness, that is a weird turn of events.
It is really crazy. I mean, this person went from the very pinnacle of his position to now facing 5 charges against him, including a whole bunch of felonies and terroristic threats.
Yeah, where did that come from? That came out of left field.
I don't know. It's a very complicated story right now.
It obviously is serious enough to warrant police attention. I mean, that's not lightly.
No.
You don't get charges just on hearsay.
No, 4 felonies.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't just like, you know, some minor stuff. There's 4 felonies.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know what to think. I hope, you know, everything goes well for Revis and that it proves, you know, it's shown that he didn't have anything to do with it. But right now it's not looking good.
No. You know who else isn't looking good right now?
Who else isn't looking good?
Actually, he never looks good. Governor Chris Christie. And
big oaf.
We have a big bone to pick with him. Right? Isn't that right, Mike?
I think so. I think it's safe to say that. I think most of Philadelphia has a big bone to pick with him.
Yeah. Because last Friday, of course he did this on a Friday night when we're not paying attention. We're not paying attention. We're not. We just got over recording the show, so we couldn't do a response to it right away. This video came out from Chris Christie on Sportsnet New York, commenting about the Phillies. And you know what? I'll just let it play because I don't even want to talk more about Chris Christie, that son of a bitch. All right, here we go.
let's just start with that. Okay, they're from Philadelphia. They're an awful team. They're an angry, bitter fan base, and it's not safe for civilized people to go to Citizens Bank Park if you want to root for the other team. You got to believe what? You got to believe we're awful people. That's what you got to believe.
Yes.
No. I'm going to say this to Chris Christie. That is so unequivocally wrong. I can't even begin to tell you the ways in which it's wrong. So here's the thing. We've been to several Phillies games last year. I remember one of the last ones we went to. I distinctly remember this. I'm pretty sure it was against the Mets. And our whole section was all Mets fans, right?
Yeah, because it was towards the end of the season. The Mets were getting ready for a playoff push and the Phillies were out.
Yeah. And so everybody's there, Mets fans, wearing their Mets gear, and we're sitting there. No incidents whatsoever in our section.
No.
It was fine. I think we even struck up a conversation with a few of them.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't ever understand this criticism that people have of Philadelphia area sports fans. I think it all stems back to the stupid Santa Claus incident. Okay? You know, people keep on bringing up the fact that we're terrible fans based on one incident from, what was it, the 70s, the 60s, the 70s? Yeah. I don't remember.
Here's something else that's also a difference, and I know this might get a little bit into your territory here, Mike, but
okay.
There's a difference between Eagles fans and Phillies fans.
Yeah.
Eagles fans, that's the one that really has the negative attributes. That's the whole battery and
the
snowball. The Philadelphia Phillies organization is a fantastic organization, especially for families. What the hell is Chris Christie talking about?
I don't know.
When you go to Citizens Bank Ballpark, it's a perfect atmosphere for families. The parking is right by for families to cross over. Patterson Avenue is usually blocked by cop cars, so you're not at risk of crimes or traffic. Causing something to go wrong. The mascot is the Philly Fanatic, one of the most friendliest mascots out there for families.
And they're always doing giveaways and special events for the
there's
kids.
Always kids' nights.
They have whole like kid zone in the one end of the park where they have like games and stuff for the kids to play. I mean, I think it's a really great ballpark.
Yeah.
And like you said, I think it is geared towards families, as most I imagine most baseball stadiums are.
Yeah. So for Chris Christie to go after specifically the Phillies.
Has he ever been to a Phillies game?
I don't think he has been. I really don't.
Should we contact Chris Christie and say, come to a Phillies game.
With us.
Rich has got tickets.
Yeah.
Come on down. Come with us.
Yeah.
You can treat us. How about this? We'll take you to the game. You buy us the cheesesteaks. And we'll show you and beer
and
because the tickets are pricey.
All the beer. Give me all the beer.
But no, let's do an official exchange. Right, reach across the aisle to Chris Christie. You come here to see a Phillies game. We'll take you to Phillies game. You treat us to lunch and drinks, and we'll show you just how amazing the Philadelphia fan base is. Because I think
I don't think he's been to a Phillies game.
I don't think so. I think he's just parroting what he's hearing the national media say about Philadelphia fans in general.
Yeah.
And the thing is, people confuse being critical of the teams. Like, we're very critical of the teams. Like we never shy away from criticizing Doug Peterson and, you know, Ryan Howard and just anybody we disagree with. So I think a lot of times people confuse that highly critical point of view with being aggressive and nasty, and it's not. We're just really passionate,
right? And the I don't.
I just hate that he just makes that blanket statement. I don't really think. But wait, it's understandable because isn't he like a Giants fan? No. He's a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, he's a Mets fan and a Cowboys fan. Okay. Which that's going to be the second part of this.
Yeah.
But the first thing I want to do is clear the airwave for Citizens Bank Ballpark because now I feel like, you know, fans of New York and New Jersey, they're going to be like, oh, well, I guess it is a bad place. The governor said it's a bad place. I'll tell you what, it truly is not a bad area.
It's not.
The South Philadelphia Sports Complex is actually a great area. There's also Xfinity Live.
Yeah.
And
you have public transit literally right there.
Yeah.
Like a block and a half away.
And on a personal note, the station that I work for, MMR, the morning show, Preston Steve, that's where they do one of that's where they do the biggest food donation drive in the country.
Yeah.
Right there at Xfinity Live in the sports complex. So you're going to tell me that we're bitter, angry fans and our stadium is, you know, unsafe to go to for families? Get the hell out of here. I bet you've never been to a Phillies game.
Yeah, I totally agree. He's probably never been to one. And if he has, he's probably yelling at Phillies fans and somebody yells at him. And so he thinks, oh, they're bitter. Well, no, if you attack us, we're not going to be like, oh, gee, shucks.
Yeah, we fight back.
That's the problem. So obviously, if you get in a Phillies fan's face, you know, what do you expect is going to happen? The same thing that happens at any major mass market team stadium.
Yeah.
You know?
All right.
Because we've heard stories from other places. You know, there's you hear people throwing stuff. I saw a picture once of some Steelers fan dumping a beer on somebody's head. Like, it happens everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay?
But let me get to the second part of this, because this is really where things get heated, in my opinion. All right? And this is the bandwagon syndrome.
Yeah.
Because Chris Christie is a douchebag.
Yes, he is.
All right? And I'm sorry. I hate to say this. You're a douchebag. Because you are the worst type. I'm speaking right to Chris Christie. you are the worst type of sports fan. You are a pure bandwagon fan, all right? Yeah. You are the governor of New Jersey, all right? Maybe the whole Mets thing, okay.
That makes sense. I'll give him the Mets. New Jersey doesn't have a baseball team.
No, but most of South Jersey is Philly fans.
He doesn't have to be from South Jersey. He's all of Jersey.
Whatever. Okay, fine. All right. Whatever. But in the football world, you're a Dallas Cowboys fan? What?
Yeah, that
smells to me like you're a bandwagon fan, exactly. Because the Mets have been good the last couple of years. They made it to the World Series two seasons ago, and now they have a young up and coming group. So now, of course, it's a good time to be a Mets fan because they're contending every year, and. Now, all of a sudden, conveniently, you're a Cowboys fan, too, because Jerry Jones invites you to the box suite at the fancy AT&T Bovey Stadium.
Every time I see those two together, oh, my God, it just sickens me.
Yeah.
I can't stand it.
All right.
That, to me, though, is the perfect example of how you can find a bandwagon fan is if they're a fan of two completely unrelated teams, separated through vast swaths of the country.
With successes,
yeah. That's the key. That's like, I can't even think of, that's like if you're like a Cleveland Cavaliers fan and a New England Patriots fan, you know? It's like, oh, it's just a coincidence. No, it's not a coincidence.
Yeah, you're just...
Shut up.
You're just jumping on what's hot right
now.
Yeah,
exactly.
Which also brings
Speaking of which, my favorite basketball team is the Cleveland... No, I'm kidding.
But this brings me to my third point.
Yeah.
All right?
Oh, boy.
And that is the fact, all right? I know we don't get into politics.
Uh-oh.
But this story came out, and it's too good to not tie this all together with a nice bow. A report came out in which Chris Christie admitted that he attended a luncheon with Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, and Donald Trump forced him to order meatloaf. The man can't even order his lunch.
Yeah.
Without double checking, what's popular? What's right? What does Donald say?
Yeah. He's jumping on food bandwagons now. Where does it stop, Christie?
He's a baseball bandwagon, a football bandwagon, and a food bandwagon. I have no respect for this douchebag.
I wonder, does he hold any personal opinions on anything?
Right.
Or is it just other people's opinions?
I don't think so.
That's, God. That is so... The thought of that just annoys me. I don't know why. It just bothers me, though.
You know why? Because it means he doesn't have his own spine. He doesn't have his own spine.
No, he doesn't.
He just goes with whatever he thinks is... I just realized another political point.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I know. We don't talk politics. But remember, there was that whole scandal when he... It was after Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah.
He, like, hugged President Obama. Remember? All the Republicans, like... came after him, like, how dare you hug a Democratic president?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's funny. It's coming on both sides now. So now we have an objective viewpoint. So, all right, whatever. Yeah. Political analysis.
Yeah.
Political analysis aside, we don't get into politics.
But to bring it back to sports.
Yeah.
To use a political analogy, though, let's reach across the aisle. Okay, you come see a Phillies game, and we'll get you some good meatloaf.
If Chris Christie is willing to,
did you catch that one? Yeah. We'll get you some meatloaf.
If Chris Christie is willing to join us for a Phillies baseball game, we'll treat him nice.
Yeah,
but he has to pay for
some reason that sounds ominous.
Yeah,
we're going to treat him nice. You know, it's
like, with the meatloaf.
With the meatloaf. It almost sounds like you're going to like plant a hit on him or something.
Yeah.
We're going to treat him real nice. See?
Yeah, have him take that bridge.
All right. Oh yeah. Well, yeah, it's going to be tough for him to get to Philly,
yeah.
You know, with all the bridges.
Right.
you can take public transportation. It's okay.
That was one story we had to get to because that was just ridiculous when that came out.
Yeah.
All right. Now
the man annoys me. I don't want to talk about him anymore.
Yeah. Until he makes amends, you're going on the list. So.
The list.
The list. That's right. One more sports story for you before we wrap up the sports sampler. And this is actually pretty monumental in the world of baseball. I know, Mike, we're talking baseball all the time here. No, well,
that's what happens when the best sport in the world ends.
Yeah, we got to talk about other sports.
Yeah.
Wait until golf, man. It's coming. But no, right now we're talking baseball. And a major rule change has happened in the world of Major League Baseball. And, of course, when anything changes in baseball, there are violent reactions.
It's like trying to change the course of the Titanic.
No.
You know, it's like, oh, my gosh. You know, they're so resistant and hesitant to change in MLB. But what is this change, and why is it causing so much controversy?
And that is a new rule in which pitchers will not have to throw four balls for an intentional walk. So, yeah, essentially, if you want to intentionally walk the batter, you know, any sort of strategy, if you have a runner at second but nobody on first, you want to intentionally walk the batter to first base so you can have force outs on base. You can now instead have a signal from the manager in the dugout to indicate that you want to do a intentional walk and that the batter will take first base immediately. So you don't physically have to throw four pitches anymore.
Okay.
And yeah, as we mentioned, it's just extreme reactions. People love it. People hate it. It's all over the place. The thing I found the most interesting, though, about this whole thing was a little statistic in one of the news articles that this is the first rule change to the ball system, you know, four balls. This is the first rule change to this system since 1889. When it used to be five balls
That gives you an idea of how often baseball changes.
1889.
That's insane.
Yeah.
More than a century.
Right.
It's almost... Is that 125 years?
Just about.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I think it's over 125 years. That's insane.
And it used to be five balls for a walk. So I guess the pitchers had more leeway on the count. That was the word I was looking for. So, what say you, Mike? Because this is getting... For those at home, you'll be like, oh, so what? Well, here's the pros and cons, because...
Yeah, I think that's a good way to frame it. Let's frame it as pros and cons for this.
Okay, so the pro behind this is this saves time. The pitcher doesn't physically have to do four pitches to the catcher. You do the signal, the guy takes the base, we move on, come on, move the game along.
And that's really what baseball is trending towards. They're trying to get the game to move a little faster.
Right. I mean, we've seen that with the addition of clocks now.
Right,
I think
that was a beneficial change, trying to pick up the pace a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, the games have been much more streamlined.
So I understand the rule in that regard, but what are the cons for this?
Well, the cons are essentially you're limiting randomness. You're eliminating stuff that can happen, because we've seen things happen even on intentional pitches for walks where there's a still a wild pitch. You didn't throw the pitcher sometimes, even in the major leagues, sometimes you get a little nervous, you throw the ball off, and it's a wild pitch.
Or
runners advance.
I've seen this happen too. Sometimes it trends a little too close to the batter's box, and he takes a wild swing at it.
Yeah, there's actually a couple years ago, an intentional pitch. He threw it too close to the plate. He just left it there as a big meatball. And the guy smacked it, bam, home run off of an intentional walk.
Home run off an intentional walk. That's crazy.
So that's the argument against it. You're limiting randomness that happens in the course of a baseball game. So there you go, Mike. What say you? Is this, are you for this or are you against it? What do you think?
It's a tricky situation because in terms of speeding up the game, I love the idea because there's a lot of elements of baseball that sort of irk me with how long it takes. You know, people going up to meet at the mound. It's like, oh, how you doing? I'm doing pretty good. Having a little like tea party meeting up there. You know,
they're having a date.
They're just chit chatting. You know, like catching up. Oh, what's your week? Oh, pretty good. So that annoys me. I hate it when the pitcher's always looking over at first base. Oh, you still there? Oh, you still there? You know, thrown over there four or five times, and you can tell. And when you're at the game, the fans start booing. It's obnoxious. It takes too much time. So I understand from that perspective wanting the rule change because I would love it. I want my games to be fast-paced. I want them to be exciting. I don't want that downtime. So from that perspective, I like it. But I also understand the perspective of it takes that unpredictability out of the game. My only counter to that would be it happens so rarely, it's almost inconsequential, the unpredictability. You know, I mean, it's like, what is it? Like 99% of the time, nothing goes wrong. Are you really going to keep a rule just for that 1% of the time where it does make a difference?
Well, here you go. I'll bring it to football terms here for you. This would be like if we got rid of the point after touchdown, and we just assumed that a touchdown 7 points.
Yeah.
I mean, 93%?
It was. It's.
Well, all right.
When it was at the 2 yard line,
it was 99% of the time.
I think
right?
Even higher. It was like 99%. It was like basically 100%.
Yeah.
It was only like one or two missed a season.
But the NFL still did it. But then they changed it, of course, to now it's the 15 yard line for the point after touchdown. But it would be like getting rid of that. How would you react to something like that in football?
Just get rid of the extra point altogether?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. If they had kept it at the 2 yard line, I would have said get rid of it altogether. What they did was they found a compromise where they kept the extra point, but they moved it back. They increased the unpredictability of it. They could find a way to increase the unpredictability of it.
Of an intentional walk.
Of an intentional walk. I don't know how you do that. Oh, you have to pitch an intentional strike to get an intentional walk. I know it's counterproductive. Why don't they find a media a compromise where it's like, okay, if you're planning to walk him, you don't have to throw four balls in a row.
Two?
Throw two balls. No, what would be wrong with that? Who says they already changed it from five to four? If you know you're going for a walk, you still have to go through the motion of at least delivering a pitch for it to be a walk. It's not just like, oh, you know, go ahead on through. Because now, instead of the pitch count going up by four pitches, now you get those four pitches back.
Yeah, so it also doesn't tire the pitcher out.
Right, so I feel like there should be a little bit of a penalty. Throw two pitches instead of four. No, I'm serious. Would that be an acceptable compromise? Or three? Throw three balls instead of four.
I would say it'd be better to throw, like, one signaling...
One
signal ball. I don't know how you'd do it. Maybe, like, a floater or something. Like...
How about this? You have to throw.
What was the thing in Rookie of the Year?
Float it.
You have to throw one of them.
Because major league batters are not going to be able. Stupid.
Float it.
Yeah, ooh. They have to throw an underhand pitch. They have to softball pitch it.
Yeah.
There's a gif going around on the internet of a dodgeball player who throws. Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah, it's wicked.
I don't care what people say about softball pitches. That is terrifying. I would not want to play dodgeball with that person. But no, I sort of like that idea where the catcher doesn't move all the way to the side, right? But like stays like in the general area and they have to throw like one or two intentional balls. So there's still an element of unpredictability, but it doesn't drag it on forever and ever. And the pitcher gets up and walks four steps over because that it's just like, it's so obnoxious. Like, you know what's going to happen, you know? So I feel like they should make the catcher stay closer to the batter, and they should still have to throw some number of
pitches. Here's something else, too. Do you find it weird that the signal has to come from the manager? That's my biggest complaint about
this. That's true, yeah, because it's not coming from the pitcher. It's coming from the manager.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the logic behind that is the manager is signaling to the pitcher what he wants him to what he thinks he should do to
right.
face the batter, but still, like, I don't know.
That didn't catch my eye as much. But
I don't know.
I guess it does seem a little strange,
right? I mean,
because
if you're the umpire, you're focusing on the pitcher batter situation,
right? And don't the pitcher and catcher, they're determining what to throw, not necessarily the manager.
Well, they throw. Well, they determine what, like, pitch and what,
but
where
not,
you're going to throw
the strategy
it.
Of
right.
walking. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, go after this guy or something. You
right,
know?
Right.
That usually comes from the manager.
But to give you a simple answer to your question of whether or not I like this, I like the idea. I don't like the implementation. I don't like the fact that the pitcher's just like, I get to take these next four pitches off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the idea that it reduces unpredictability. I like the idea that it's reducing the amount of time and reduces just the comicalness of it. It's like, you know what's going to happen.
Well,
why do you bother going through the motions?
For the time, I don't know if this is going to burst your bubble. They did a study.
Oh,
on,
really?
On average, this would save 17 seconds.
Hey, you know what?
Of game
17
play.
Seconds. That's 17 seconds I didn't have before.
Wow.
That's like two bites of hot dog, Rich.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That Chris Christie's going to buy us.
Exactly. When we take him to the game, he's going to buy us a hot dog, and we're going to eat it in 17 seconds. I mean, I understand that it won't save a lot of time. My problem is, as a fan, I'm sitting there. I just get annoyed because I'm watching it happen. I'm like, come on. Like, we all know. You know, it, I don't know. It just annoys me. It just annoys me. Just the whole procedures. Like, we have to go through this whole pomp and circumstance. You know, this special dance, jumping through hoops, just to have the guy walk the first base. You know, so I want to reduce that ridiculousness of it, but also keep the unpredictability.
Okay.
Does this sound like an impossible task for baseball?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm giving them all these things. Like, you have to cut down on the time and cut down on the ridiculous, but keep the unpredictability, and you got to do this.
I think you might be, because I'm going to go in the traditionalist argument.
A traditionalist when
I
it comes
know.
To baseball.
No replay,
no this, no that.
Well, no, I thought replay was a
okay.
good idea. Replay.
Well, you're basically a heretic then.
But for this, I don't know. 17 seconds, is it really that like much of a cost-saving strat? I don't know.
I just think it's the annoyance of seeing them do it. Like, whenever, like, to make it a football.
Only four pitches. Come
but,
on.
So think of it this way. I'm going to put it in football terms because that's what I understand. When the quarterback kneels the football, I cannot stand it. It is so annoying because it doesn't take any time, but it's like a slap in the face to fans. It's like, you know what's going to happen, but we still got to go through all this nonsense. Run a play. Either run a play or just end the game. You know, I don't know why you have to have this special formation and take this time, and it's like rubbing salt in a wound if you're on the losing side of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
I don't know. I feel like, I don't know what I want. I want the world. I want everything. I want my cake and I want to eat it too.
You want football back. That's what you want.
That's what I really want. I want football back.
But when you watch baseball games this season, it's actually starting this season.
Wow, really?
Yeah, no trial period,
you know,
nothing. It's going right in motion.
You know what really upsets me about this is the fact that they had to have this conversation in the first place. Like, this is the rule you change. Out of all the rules, this is the one. This is the one you land on.
Sure.
Not the antiquated replay system or the fact that you still have some random dude standing behind the catcher calling whether it's a ball or a strike. You have all these advanced systems.
What, you'd want to have a whole robot?
I'm a man of science, okay? You have to remember. You have
Mike.
To, no, look. You have to look at it from my perspective. You have to look at it from my perspective.
No, Mike, you're forgetting George Carlin, all right? Baseball is a 19th century pastoral friendly game. Football is a 20th century technological struggle,
but
it's two different
you see,
things.
That's the thing. I was raised in the house of football. I was brought up a disciple of football. So when I see baseball players and like, is it? I don't know. Who knows? They just toss up their hands and shrug their shoulders. I'm coming at it from the perspective of football where it's like there has to be specific verifiable evidence to overturn this. You know, it's a game of inches. I want to bring that sort of exactness to baseball.
All right. Can you go over what a catch is again?
Well, you
all
have
right,
to
on that note, we're going to have to take a break here on the Chris Manuel podcast.
Touche.
Have the music touché. Save you, Mike.
Yeah. Touche.
But there you go. We're done the sports sampler for now. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, we're having the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle. Always crunching.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
EA Sports has cut ties with the famed golfer for their upcoming golf video game, Tiger Woods PGA Tour. He is in the danger zone. Do you just want to leave it on, Rich?
Maybe. But yeah, you're right. Tiger Woods, unfortunately, he finds himself in the zone of danger.
The zone of danger. You're just having far too much fun.
Do you want me to go back into the danger zone? No. All right.
Let's stay out of the danger zone. I want to be in the safe zone. No?
No.
Doesn't have the same ring?
No, that has no ring.
No ring?
That has no ring. Danger zone or nothing at all. How dare you, Mike? Yeah!
What about, like, the in-between, like, the precarious zone? What about the slightly cautious zone?
No!
It's just the danger zone?
That's it!
Okay. Well, you know...
I'm sorry, I love Top Gun.
No, really? I couldn't tell. Just played Danger Zone 7 times.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler. Pretty good discussion about some rule changes. So kind of law and order-ish.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, everything, I guess. Well, mostly everything has a law and order twist to it.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
Very loose definition here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Very loose, yeah.
But we are done the sports sampler. And with that, we move on to the second part of our meal for your mind. That is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We jump into the entertainment world. Folks, it's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Government's going to get torn into pieces. Humanity's already got too many threats ahead of it. We probably may not survive already, even if we beat them. So they got to be dealt with now. All the cowards, all the scum, all the backstabbers, all the vampires, all the pedos, they got to be dealt with. Doesn't mean there won't still be some creeping around, but they're not going to be running the show anymore. Oh, man, you want to fight, you're going to get one. Ugh. I want to lose my voice, but I just want you to know. I just want to beat these people, don't you? I'm sick of them. I'm sick of them thinking they're better than everybody and having their way with us. Having their way with a lot of good, hardworking people, you pieces of crap. Excuse me. God almighty.
All right, and there you go. The latest from Alex Jones.
The weekly Alex Jones update.
Boy, you know, he went dormant for a little bit, and man, he's returning in fine form.
He was recharging.
Yeah, he recharged his screaming. Oh,
that
my God.
That scream was, you got to love a good Alex Jones scream.
Oh, man, you want to fight, you're going to get one. Oh.
You're going to get one.
Oh, how he starts screaming, it turns it into like a word.
You're going to get one.
Oh, man. I don't understand how people can find that enjoyable. Like you're driving along, you know, and you're listening.
Today is such a beautiful day.
La, 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 la. And then,
Oh, man, you want to fight, you're going to get one.
Oh my gosh! I love the pause before too. Like he actually is like gathering up the power.
That's how you know it's fake. Because he's gotta like he's gotta get himself in the mood to do it. It's not spontaneous like we are.
I want to lose my voice, but I just want you to know. I just want to beat these people, don't you?
I'm gonna beat these people. Sounds like he's getting ready for like dinner or something. Like, I'm ready.
I want to eat them.
I'm going to beat this dinner.
I want to lose my voice, but I just want you to know.
Well, that was eating dinner and then taking the crap after dinner, all in one go.
Oh man, you want to fight? You're going to get one.
That's what he says on the toilet. Oh, you want to fight? You're
going to
get one.
Yeah, you know, for some reason now I'm thinking of all these things in the context of going to the bathroom. And, like, some of them strangely fit.
Oh, God. So there you go.
Alex Jones. He never fails to amaze me.
He's back in good form.
Man, you want to fight, you're going to get one. Ugh. I want to lose my voice, but I just want you to know. Excuse me.
Excuse me. Sorry, I destroyed your toilet.
Excuse me.
All right. Well, there you go, folks. Random sound clip of the week. Once again, provided by Alex Jones, because why the hell not? The world is coming to an end. So with that, we move on to the next part of your happy-go-lucky day. It's time for the segment where Mike lets you know what's going on in movies, video games, and TV in the upcoming week ahead. Folks, it's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
Fight, you're gonna get one.
What do you got, Mike?
Just like he's gotta get something out. Maybe you should get out to the movies and check out Get Out, the latest movie hitting theaters this week. Wow. Like how many times I worked the title in there?
Good transition there.
Yeah, thank you. Get Out comes to theaters this week. Jordan Peele of Key and Peele fame makes his writing and directing debut with this new psychological horror thriller. The basic synopsis of it is that Chris and his girlfriend Rose have reached the meet the parents milestone of dating, and she invites him for a weekend getaway upstate with her parents. At first, Chris reads the family's overly accommodating behavior as nervous attempts to deal with their daughter's interracial relationship, but as the weekend progresses, a series of increasingly disturbing discoveries lead him to a truth that he could have never imagined. If you've been following the trailers, this looks like a seriously traumatizing psychological horror movie. It looks absolutely terrifying and incredibly interesting. So much so that the critics are raving about it. Right now it has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes with an average rating of 8.3 from 52 reviewers. I can't believe earlier today it wasn't this high. The review has actually been getting better and better as the day has progressed. So keep an eye on this one. This could be an early hit for 2017. That's Get Out, coming to theaters this week. Next up in the world of video games, we have a couple of big ones coming out. Halo Wars 2 comes to Xbox One and PC. This spinoff of the Halo series is a real-time strategy game that follows a group separate from Master Chief's main story. Right now it's doing very well on Metacritic with an 80 out of 100. So if you're a Halo fan, go check out this one. It's right up your alley. But if you don't have an Xbox and you want to play something a little different, you might want to check out Night in the Woods, which is coming to PlayStation 4, PC, and Mac. This cartoonish adventure game stars a cat named May in her early 20s who drops out of college to return home only to discover that nothing can stay the same forever. It promises a surreal, story-driven platforming adventure that focuses on this sort of coming-of-age story, and it apparently promises to get darker as it goes along. Very interesting, very unique, quirky little indie title, so go check out Night in the Woods on PlayStation 4, PC, and Mac. Both those games are out already. And finally, in the world of TV, I don't know why, but Taken premieres Monday, February 27th on NBC at 10 p.m. This series goes over how Liam Neeson's character from the movies acquired his particular set of skills. It also demonstrates how to run a series into the ground. I don't understand why they felt the need to make a television series out of a movie series that became a joke. This was obviously greenlit a while ago, so I'm not expecting much from it. But if you're in for some fun action, go check out Taken on NBC. If you want something a little more razzle and dazzle, go check out the 89th Academy Awards this Sunday on ABC. Coverage starts at 5 p.m. with the host Jimmy Kimmel. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for this week in entertainment. And that is a good transition into our topic here in the entertainment entree. And because, you know, right into Oscars pandemonium, we like to give you a quick hit on what is going to happen according to the Las Vegas bookie. So let's get the gambling music. Woo! Yay! We are going to...
I love the gambling music.
Yeah, get all excited because we're going to let you know who, according to Las Vegas, they believe is going to have a good night.
Okay.
Who are the favorites heading into the Oscars?
Well, I can tell you this. One of the top favorites is probably going to be La La Land.
All right, well, we'll see. We got the list here of the major ones here. So let's hit the bookies. Are you ready, Mike?
Let's do it.
All right. Best Supporting Actress, the nominees, Viola Davis for Fences, Michelle Williams for Manchester by the Sea, Naomi Harris for Moonlight, Nicole Kidman for Lion, and Octavia Spencer for Hidden Figures. The favorite, Viola Davis for Fences. She is the overwhelming favorite.
Really?
Because the next person up on the list is Michelle Williams at 16-1.
Wow.
So that's a big jump. So she is a heavy favorite.
Basically, Vegas thinks that Davis has got this in the bag.
Yeah.
And you know what, though? It makes sense. Viola Davis is a fantastic actress. I don't know if you've ever watched How to Get Away with Murder on ABC.
Yeah, that people rave about that show.
I've been following it. It has so many dramatic twists and turns and shocking moments, and Viola Davis is just so captivating. Her character is both ruthless and also a very emotionally troubled person, and she brings so much depth to this this law professor. It's actually set in the Philadelphia area, so I'm not surprised that she's favored to win this category because she has some serious acting chops.
Does it surprise you by a long shot? That's pretty big. Like, it goes from her to 16-1. That's pretty
big. Well, I will say this. Moonlight and Manchester by the Sea, both male-driven movies.
Okay.
Both of them have males as the lead. Those make sense. Lion, that was sort of a late bloomer. Hidden Figures, I'm surprised Hidden Figures wasn't up there more. Was Hidden Figures the second one? Or no, you said Michelle Williams.
Michelle Williams is number... Yeah, is the second favorite. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm surprised that Hidden Figures wasn't up there more, considering there's an all-female cast. But
well, let's go to Best Supporting Actor. We got Mahershala Ali.
Yeah, Remy Danton.
Yep, Remy Danton. Dev Patel for Lion. Jeff Bridges for Hell or High Water. Lucas Hedges for Manchester by the Sea. And Michael Shannon for Nocturnal Animal.
The favorite is Mahershala Ali, Moonlight. Yeah.
I have a feeling he's going to win. I think he won. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think he won the Golden Globe for this
category. Yeah, I think he won Golden Globe, yeah.
That's usually a pretty good indicator. But, I mean, if you've watched House of Cards, you know how interesting Ali is, right? And not only that, but the movie has such a heavy subject matter with a young African-American man dealing with his sexual identity. I think that this is ripe for winning some awards. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Ali win it. Who is the second one?
Next in line, Dev Patel for Lion at 7-1.
Dev Patel's a good actor.
I mean, there is a big
gap.
It's
still close.
It is a big gap, but it's not unheard of.
Yeah.
16-1 is a huge one. That's not
that. That is a huge gap, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the Lion came on very late in terms of awards notoriety. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
It sort of came out of nowhere very late. So that's why I feel like it's probably not higher.
Yeah. Let's get to leading categories. Best Actress. We have Meryl Streep for Florence Foster Jenkins, Ruth Negga for Loving, Isabel Huppert for Elle, Natalie Portman for Jackie, and Emma Stone for La La Land.
Who's the favorite?
That's interesting. Yeah, none of the... none of the hidden figures in Best Actress.
Huh. Well, maybe is it an ensemble cast?
Maybe that's why.
Because it's like three leads and it's not really. See, that's always the trick when you do a movie like that, because you're going to take an instant hit in awards fame because you're splitting the acting role.
Yeah.
But
anyway, the overall favorite, Emma Stone, La La Land.
And that's my personal favorite. I mean, although I like Natalie Portman too. Yeah. But I think Emma Stone is probably going to win this one.
Yeah. Second is Natalie Portman, Jackie, 6-1. So that's also...
That makes sense. Natalie Portman
running,
playing a former first lady.
There's a little bit of a gap, so maybe that could be an upset. We'll see.
Could be possible. I know this, that Jackie Kennedy, or the movie Jackie, rather, that is... The awards love those... historical movies, those period pieces, those bio films. So it's gonna get a lot of attention. I don't know if it's enough to upset Emma Stone, but not surprised to see a nomination and to be favored second.
Yep. All right. Here's where things get interesting in terms of betting is okay. Best Actor category.
Okay.
The nominees are Ryan Gosling, La La Land, Denzel Washington, Fences, Casey Affleck, Manchester by the Sea, Viggo Mortensen, Captain Fantastic, and also Andrew Garfield. He's in this one too.
Huh?
He's in this one too, right? Andrew
Hacksaw
Garfield.
Ridge. Yes.
Hacksaw Ridge. Yeah, there you go.
Which is funny because he like lost his job as Spider-Man,
right, yeah,
and then gets nominated for Best Actor.
Right. So here's where things get interesting. Here, the favorite is Casey Affleck for Manchester by the Sea.
Okay.
But behind him, and not really too far off in terms of odds, is Denzel Washington, Fences, at 7-4, which is almost 2-1. So
right,
he's
really not far
behind.
And really, Ryan Gosling isn't higher.
Ryan Gosling at 14-1.
Really?
Yeah.
Because everything that I'm hearing is that La La Land is like buying, the huge favorite for almost everything. So I thought that was a little... surprising.
Yeah, but Casey Affleck did win the Golden Globe in this one.
He did.
So
he did.
They're probably going by that.
Right.
But they also considered Denzel to be a strong contender in this one, which that could be interesting. Nice little upset for Denzel. But also, another side note on the Best Actor category, if you love long shots, Viggo Mortensen, I'm sorry, Viggo fans, Vegas does not view him very highly. 100-1.
Wow.
So
yeah, put $10 down though.
That's pretty much no shot. Like Viggo might as well don't even show up. There's no chance of you winning according to Vegas. 100-1 on that.
Viggo Mortensen because did you know that he played Aragorn in Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
Because I know how much you love Lord of the Rings. You follow it religiously.
Oh yeah. Very good.
Did you know that Lord of the Rings won Best Director and Best Picture when
Excellent.
It was nominated?
Yes. Keep up the good work. All right. Let's go to Best Director. Best Director, we have Barry Jenkins, Moonlight,
Damien Chazelle for La La Land, Kenneth Lonergan for Manchester by the Sea, Mel Gibson for Hacksaw Ridge, and Denise Villeneuve for Arrival. The favorite in this one, Damien Chazelle for La La Land. So he's expected to win this one, according to Vegas.
Okay. That doesn't surprise me.
The long shot in this one, Denise Villeneuve for Arrival at 66-1. So another long shot there if you want to place a couple bucks for big money. But unfortunately, that also means Vegas means you're pretty much out of the running.
Yeah, this one, I really think it would be shocking if Chazelle didn't win this one for La La Land. Because the thing you have to keep in mind, now maybe the Academy won't think this way, but this is the way I'm looking at it. He's directing a movie, but it's also a musical. So you're thinking you have to direct these people through choreographed numbers, and you have to look at it in a more surreal sense. It's not so much the traditional drama where it's, you know, conversations. It's more movement. It's more action. There's more involved in it, I think, from my perspective. So that's why I think you said he's the favorite here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Vegas agrees with you because second place is Barry Jenkins' Moonlight at 12-1. So that's pretty big head start in the odds category. Yeah.
Well, like La La Land has 14 nominations, record tying with Titanic, of course, as one of the biggest. Or as one of the films that get the most nominations. So I'm not surprised that it's getting as much attention.
Yeah, pretty much. Anything La La Land has been nominated in, I think they've been favored in, other than Best Actor.
Yeah, it's been killing it.
What the hell, Ryan Gosling? Letting everybody down here.
He's not carrying his weight. That's right. Emma Stone could carry that movie by herself.
Yeah.
I love Emma Stone.
Well, who doesn't? Everyone loves Emma Stone.
You must be crazy if you don't like Emma Stone.
I'm sure somebody doesn't. I'm sure the internet. I'm sure somebody on the internet doesn't, but I don't see how that's possible.
Crazy people.
Yeah, crazy people all out there on the internet, those trolls. All right, let's get to the big one, Best Picture. All right, this one always gets crazy because there's so many movies in this one. Here we go. The long shots are Arrival and Hell or High Water.
Oh, come on.
What?
So when I first heard about Arrival, I was immediately drawn to this. The idea of a world-class linguist being called in by the government to translate an alien language to try and broker some type of understanding with them, that is immediately interesting. It's
sci-fi,
so it's
though.
So novel. It's
the
sci-fi,
whole sci-fi
is,
stigma.
But I mean, Hacksaw Ridge, it's a war movie.
Hold on. Yeah, let me get to.
I'm just looking at some of these
Stop
other
jumping
ones.
Jumping ahead of me,
I'm
Mike.
I'm sorry, I can't help it. Arrival, I really want to see Arrival.
Well, unfortunately, Vegas says no.
Yeah.
Arrival and Hell or High Water, both at 150-1.
Wow.
So
really,
it's not happening. It's not happening.
It is the sci-fi curse. Inception, District 9.
Yeah, it's not happening, Mike. Sorry.
Yeah.
But if it makes you feel better, the next outliers here are Fences and Hacksaw Ridge at 100-1.
I still think
not going to happen either.
Maybe I'm totally wrong. I haven't seen Hacksaw Ridge. It just doesn't seem to me that it has the same weight as the others. You know, it's like in the low 70s in terms of Metacritic. I think it's just up there because of Mel Gibson. You know, he's a really big Hollywood person and probably had a large, very large budget for promoting to the Academy. So I think that's why it's up there, because you look at that compared to Arrival and La La Land, it's just, in terms of critics, it just doesn't match. But anyway, the next set of nominees.
Yep. The next one on the list, Lion at 50-1. So,
and again,
it's still not going to happen.
What I've been saying the whole time, Lion came on very late, so that's why it's probably stuck in the middle there in a lot of these categories.
Yeah, sorry, Lion's not going to happen. Up next, Hidden Figures at 25-1. Still not going to happen.
Yeah, that's tough.
You're still in the not going to happen area. All right. Next, this one's interesting. Manchester by the Sea at 20-1.
That's surprising that it's that low, I think. Just because it went into its release with so much hype. So I think it's strange that it's been lagging behind in a lot of these categories. But anyway.
Yeah. All right. But now we're going to get to more likely here. Next, Moonlight, 8-1.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Like I said, Moonlight has the second most nominations with 8. It's getting a lot of great press. You know, hardly anything bad to say about it from anyone. Really tough subject matter. So I'm not surprised to see it that close to the top.
And then, of course, the overall favorite, La La Land, number one here.
That's a shocker.
So pretty substantial.
What are the odds for La La Land?
Well, there's really no odds because it's the favorite.
Oh.
So it's 1 to 10, which means that you got to lay down. You got to lay down $10 to make 11.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that sucks.
Yeah.
So what they're saying is basically La La Land is already confirmed to have won best picture.
Pretty much. Yeah.
But
Moonlight 8-1. That could be worth a shot.
It could be. It depends on how they view, because the Academy, being artsy fartsy, you know, they might look at Moonlight and say, this is subject matter that deserves to be rewarded, whereas La La Land is, it's literally about La La Land. It's, you know, this whimsical, you know, modern day, make it or break in Hollywood type story. So they might look at Moonlight and say, this is a much weightier, meatier, story than La La Land. I don't know. That it could go that way. So
it could.
I don't think it will. I think La La Land has this locked up.
Vegas agrees with you.
I would be absolutely shocked if La La Land didn't win like 5 or 6 awards. I'm calling it right now.
Well, Vegas pretty much agrees with you because it seems like all the major categories that La La Land was in, they were the favorite other than Best Actor.
Now watch them win nothing. 0-14. It's not going to happen, no, but that would be hilarious.
I don't know. You never know. You never know how these things exactly are going to go. I mean, Vegas usually has the right idea, but, you know, there are surprises. So that's why we tune in and we watch the Oscars, and including this year's, which are this Sunday. Will La La Land live up to the hype? We'll find out. And will people get paid on those long shot bets? We'll have the follow-up next week on our recap of the Oscars. But there you go. Those are the odds if you're a betting person like I am.
Are you going to be placing any bets?
Probably not on this. I don't.
You don't bet on the Oscars?
Not really. I don't know. If there's like an office pool, I'd do that. But, yeah. You know.
Let me ask you this. So this is one of the rare years where I haven't seen many of the. I haven't seen any of the Best Picture nominees. Usually, I see a handful. Have you seen any of the Best Picture nominees?
Yeah, not really, to be honest with you. I feel bad.
Have you seen any?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
No.
Unfortunately, I haven't either. And it's terrible because there's so many on this list that I want to see. Like, straight off the bat, there's like 5 movies that I want to see. But I'm really looking forward to this. I think there's a lot of great movies in this Best Picture category.
I never understood why doesn't like a movie theater, like when Oscar week comes out, and I say this every year, why don't they just have like a...
That's what I was meaning to tell you. Ambler Theater does do that. They're showing La La Land and Arrival right now.
Whoa, so, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Damn it, Ambler Theater, they stole my idea.
And the thing is, like, I'm right here.
Bastards.
I'm like, oh, I'm going to walk down. I'm going to go see this movie. And of course, like, I never
Ambler Theater, you owe me something.
Oh, wow, they're showing the Oscar-nominated short films.
At least give me free tickets. How about that? We'll call it even.
Yeah, they're showing Lion and La La Land right now.
Well, Mike, we'll take a trip to Ambler Theater and catch up on all these movies. But there you go. This Sunday is the Oscars. Go check it out. This is the WWE Championship right here.
Of the movies,
yeah. Like, you know, we had the Golden Globes. That was like Intercontinental Championship. But this is the real deal, WWE Championship. We'll see who comes out the winner in this battle royale of movies. But as for now, we're going to take another break. But don't go anywhere because we got the non-fortune cookie odd news with a law theme. So you're going to have to stick around to see what we're talking about. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Did you hear this?
An upstate New York woman pleaded not guilty on Thursday to 5 counts of child endangerment after other parents complained that she hired female strippers for her son's 16th birthday party.
Sounds like a good time.
Oh. How come we never had these kind of parties?
You have another story?
Yeah, I got one last story. A young Florida boy saw his mother arrested on his birthday after his party at Chuck E. Cheese turned into a massive 18-man brawl. Fight began in the restaurant's bathroom. It escalated quickly with the men fighting in the dining room. Employees were able to get the fighters outside, at which point several drove to a location to continue the fight.
Wait. They drove to another location to continue the fight? All right, guys. Here's the plan. We're going to get in the car. We're going to drive down the road. We'll meet you there in like 10 minutes, all right?
Is that what happened? Do they carpool? Do they all get in one car?
Once there, an unidentified man shot a gun at a car.
Oh my. That was the laziest drive-by shooting ever. You just show up, shoot one bullet, and then just, I missed. We didn't have birthday parties like this. I didn't have any brawling strippers. What they don't tell you is that the two families are related.
Strippers at Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese is stripping.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Oh, yeah. We are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Man, I'm feeling good. We got the sports sampler done, the entertainment entree out of the way. All interesting topics that are going to affect the future of our favorite sports and entertainment events. But now it's time for the place where we tickle our minds with these ridiculous stories that come out. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. Get ready to have your mind tickled.
Yeah,
by the wacky.
That's right. All right. They're going to get tickled. All right.
I don't know. It sounds kind of creepy. Get ready because we're going to tickle your minds with the wacky, the wild, the always entertaining, non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
In honor of me doing jury duty, we figured that we would go into the vault of the Crispy Noodle Odd News archives, and we would find a couple of stories for you that have to deal with weird laws and breaking of the laws and stuff like that.
During the Crispy Noodle Podcast, there are certain stories which defy all logic.
Yes!
And make us scream and rant and rave. They call it the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. These are their stories.
Executive producer, Dick Wolf.
Dick Wolf. By the way, guest producer, Dick Wolf.
Guest producer, yeah. Yeah, Bruno's not here tonight. Yeah. I don't know where he went to.
Yeah, no, Dick Wolf helped us put together the show.
Dick Wolf's here, yeah. How you doing, Dick? He waved.
Good job, Dick.
Mr. Wolf, sorry.
Mr. Wolf. Sorry.
Man's a legend.
He is a legend.
All right.
He made every single law and order.
Right, every single one.
Every single one. But yeah, normally, you know, we have new odd news stories, but this time we wanted to share some of our favorite crime, Law and Order themed,
detective themed
odd news stories,
stuff like that.
You'll see
the theme.
You'll see. It's there.
Yeah,
it's there.
It's barely there. But it's good. It'll make you laugh your ass off.
Yes, it will. So, without further ado, should we start diving into the stories?
I think so. I think that's the appropriate thing to do. Yeah, so we've picked out five stories that we want to replay because they are just that damn good. So, Mike, are you ready to dive into it?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay.
All right.
What's first up?
The first story is Nacho Prostitute, episode 186.
Our next story here, going to Ohio.
Good old Ohio.
Yeah.
Home of Cleveland, the worst city in America.
Well, Ohio, this woman must really love nachos.
Okay.
An Ohio woman was arrested in a prostitution sting after she told an undercover cop that her price for some oral sex was $50 and a plate of nachos.
I don't think that's not bad, right?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
$50 in nachos?
Yeah.
That's reasonable.
Also, by the way, this town that this is in is Beaver County.
Oh, of course.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
So, as detailed in a Beaver Police Department report.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
The Beaver Police.
Yeah, that's right. They're the Beaver Police.
Nice beaver.
Yeah, it's true. That's their name, the Beaver Police.
That's why it's a prostitution sting. They're policing
beavers.
Nice
beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
In the report, an officer contacted 36-year-old Crystal Hotlutz. What a name.
Crystal Hotlutz?
Yeah.
All right, then.
After they
That's
spotted...
such a bad last name. They could have come up with anything else.
Right. After spotting her Backpage.com ad offering, quote, paid companionship. Records show that the 5'8", 270-pound Hotlutz...
Oh, my gosh.
Frequently advertises her escort services online and describes herself... as a, quote, BBW goddess, which is big, beautiful woman.
Yeah.
And she wrote in the byline that, quote, I'm thicker than a snicker.
What? I'm thicker than a snicker. Oh, my God.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Now we're talking, baby.
Well, I think I know how she got that way. It might be the fact that she's getting paid in nachos.
I just love
thicker
that line.
Thicker than a snicker.
I'm thicker than a snicker.
What's that even mean?
Snickers. Like,
yeah, I know it means Snickers, but thicker than a... I don't know.
I'm thicker than a snicker, man.
Well, you got to give her props for creativity.
Yeah.
She definitely gets an A for creativity.
I wouldn't even charge her. I'd let her go on that one. I'm thicker than a snicker.
The cop's like, I had a good laugh and about a blowjob, so you're free to go.
Yeah. In reply to the undercover cop's initial text, Hotlutz quoted an hourly rate of $160 originally, but after negotiation, she altered her demands and said that, you know what, honey, I will go down to a price of $50 in nachos.
Man. That cop is good at bargaining.
Yeah.
He could have got her down to a pack of gum and some nachos.
Yeah, get this guy into a hostage situation as the negotiator.
He got $110 knocked off the price. You said $150 or $160?
Her original rate was $160 and then knocked it down to $50 in nachos.
Man.
This guy's good.
This guy is good.
Hotlutz subsequently met the cop Monday night in the parking lot of a Mexican restaurant in good old Beaver Township.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
I love the fact that it's at the Mexican restaurant so he can get her nachos right away.
Right then and there. Good job.
Oh, my God. Please say he showed up with nachos.
After entering the undercover vehicle, Hotlutz then asked, "Where's your money in the nachos?" That's when the cop pulled out cash and nachos.
Wow.
So, yeah, you have to go all the way. Yeah, you have to prove that this is a transaction.
That's right. That's right.
After she took it, that's when Hot Locks was arrested for solicitation.
Oh, did she at least get to eat the nachos?
I don't think so.
Oh,
I think,
come on.
I
that's just cruel.
I think once you take it, yeah, then it's a crime. Sorry. No,
they should have at least let her eat the nachos.
No nachos for you.
The cops put her in the back of the car and just stood there and ate the nachos in front of her.
No nachos for you.
Oh.
Hot Locks was booked into the county jail where she remains on a $1,700 bond.
That's sad.
So, yeah, sad story. She did not get her nachos.
Oh, that is really sad. That's really sad.
No nachos for you.
It also makes you wonder how many tricks she turned for food.
Yeah.
Like, is each day different? Like, one day is like nachos. The next day it's like, oh, I feel like burgers.
I know what one day is.
You can give them pizza whenever they want.
Pizza!
Bites. The official
currency for hookers.
Yes,
they're perfect. They're portable. You can warm them up in a microwave,
and hookers love them.
And hookers, they just go crazy for them
for some good old fashioned pizza bagel bites.
Oh, the hookers like, I'll blow you for $20 and some bagel bites.
How many bagel bites you want? I want 9. No, I need 1.
Oh, yeah.
You
got to share. Yeah. Sharing is caring. Come
all
on.
All right, yeah.
Don't be greedy.
All right. I need some over here.
You can give them pizza whenever they want.
Pizza in the morning, pizza in the evening, pizza at supper time. When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime. Pizza bagel.
You know, it's funny. I didn't see that on the Bagel Bites website, the fact that you can use them for hooker exchanges.
I don't think they promote that.
No, that's like one of those secret things.
Yeah.
They don't openly promote, but they're aware it goes on. So I just picture some guy carrying out bagel bites in a baggie. All right. It's time for the next case here on the docket. It's time for Nakia Hall and Gum Cola, episode 189.
Going to Austintown, Ohio.
Austintown?
Yeah.
Austin wasn't enough?
No, this is Austintown.
Okay.
Police in Austintown, Ohio said that an intoxicated woman was ordering food in the Taco Bell drive-thru while an officer was trying to pull her car over.
Did we have a story like this where somebody got caught? Or no, escaped through a drive-thru?
Yeah, someone escaped, yeah.
Okay, so this is somebody getting caught in a drive-thru.
Yeah.
Okay.
Police said that the woman drove into the parking lot at more than 40 miles per hour.
Wow, that's really fast to drive into a parking lot.
Yeah, she really needs this food.
This is Taco Bell?
Yeah, Taco Bell. Yeah.
Usually people are fleeing Taco Bell that fast because it's already hit their digestive tract and they need to get to a bathroom.
Yeah, but she's already there.
Yeah.
Don't make me into my ultimate form!
Yeah, she's...
This is her ultimate taco form?
Well, so first off, she drove into the parking lot of the Taco Bell more than 40 miles per hour. She also struck a curb.
Okay.
And drove over a concrete island.
Wow.
To get into the drive-thru line. So, yeah, they're definitely...
I just had this image of her, like, approaching the drive-thru, like, perpendicularly.
Yeah.
Don't make me into my ultimate form!
You know what I mean? Instead of, like, driving, like, along the track, it, like, drives over and, like,
yeah,
faces the drive-thru speaker. Oh, yeah, man, she was really desperate to get in the drive-thru line, wasn't she?
Yeah, so that enough was enough to get attention from the officer here.
Hey, that lady's going the wrong way through the drive-thru. Think we should do something about it? Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah, I guess we're going to have to.
Oh, man.
The officer followed the car and activated lights in the police car and pulled behind the vehicle. That's when the cop got out and confronted the woman. When he asked for her license and registration, the woman continued ordering food to the police cop.
Can I see your license and registration? I said soft shells,
yeah,
not hard shells.
And
Crunch okay?
Wrap Supreme.
And if I don't get the cheese with my nachos,
I'm going to be very angry.
I said license and registration, and I said a Diet Coke.
Don't make me into my ultimate form!
Oh, that's amazing. And what did the drive-thru person do? Are they just like listening in on the little speaker? Were they still taking orders?
Yeah, are they still taking the orders?
Hey, look,
yeah.
They're committed, all right? They must be commended for being committed. Wouldn't that be funny, though? Imagine you're working the drive-thru and you're just hearing this conversation.
Yeah, what the hell's going on?
You're like asking your manager, like, do I continue? Like, should I ask her if she wants to upgrade to a large meal in the middle of this interrogation?
The officer then told the woman to stop ordering food. And asked for her driver's license again, at which time she reached into her pocket and pulled out a Lube Stop receipt.
Close enough.
Yeah, that's definitely wrong here.
Oh, boy.
Police said that the woman also gave the officer a fake name, saying that her name was Nakia Hall.
Okay. Nakia Hall.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
You know what? That's not a bad fake name. At least it's not like I don't know. Like Max Powers or
Max
something.
Power.
Max Power. Simpsons, Max yeah. Power.
He's the man. The man with the name you mustn't touch. Yeah. But you want to touch. Simpsons reference. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it could have been that bad. You know, what was it? Nakia
Hall.
Nakia Hall. That's like a legit name. I could see that being a name.
You know what I think it is? What? I think she saw a Nokia or something. That sounds very similar.
Yeah, she's looking around like she's a Nokia store. I'm Nokia Hall?
Yeah.
Way? No, just Hall. Nakia Hall.
Yeah. The drive-thru is like a hallway.
There you go, yeah.
I think that's how
she's like
it.
Staring at her phone. She's like, I'm Samsung drive-thru? Like question marks at the end of each one. The cop's just like, no, you're not.
I'm Samsung.
No, I really am. I'm Samsung.
Hi, my name's Apple.
Apple.
16 GB.
Yeah. My name is Apple 16 GB. Is that like Junior? Exactly like Junior. What if somebody's name is Sam Song? Like Sam, and then the last name is Song.
Yeah.
That's possible.
My name's Sam Song.
Yeah. That's funny.
When they finally got her real name, the cops were able to run her license. It turned out she did not have a valid license anymore.
Shocker. She drove in the drive-thru at 40 miles an hour.
On her past driver's license, she had over 9 suspensions.
Jeez. What happened to 3 strikes?
Yeah.
How is she still able to get a car?
This is a pyramid. This is 3 of 3 strikes.
Oh, okay. Pyramid. It's not a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's charged with falsification, DUI, and numerous traffic violations.
Wow.
So.
It's not surprising.
Yeah.
When you drive into the drive-thru at 40 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's a
it's
big
not
red
surprising.
Flag.
Yeah. That's like 4 red flags.
Yeah. Sorry, Nakia Hall.
Help me see it my ultimate form!
I bet you she saw a Nokia. I don't know, like an advertising or something.
Nokia's not even around, though, are they?
Yeah, they're still around.
Oh, yeah, I guess they do still have Nokia Lumia or whatever.
Right.
Phones. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I bet you she saw an advertisement. It was like, oh, Nokia.
She was listening to the radio and heard an ad for Nokia. So it was Nokia. And then she had Hall's cough drops. Nokia Hall.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah,
we figured it out.
Cough drops. There you go.
If you're ever in need of a fake name, just look around your car and just put 2 words together.
Right.
Windshield, steering wheel.
Yeah. Gum Coca-Cola.
Gum Coca-Cola. My name is Gum Cola.
Gum Cola. I'm on the case.
I know. I was about to say, it sounds like a like gumshoe.
Yeah, it sounds like gumshoe. Yeah.
It's like a really bad 1940s detective. Gum Cola.
I'm on the case.
But first I had to get some Taco Bell.
I'm really hungry.
Can't solve a case on an empty stomach. Gum Cola. Oh, man.
Yeah. That.
Yeah. I don't know about Gum Cola.
It was a long night.
And the music didn't seem to want to work.
Yes, my CD changer didn't work.
And I just knew that I had to get some Taco Bell before I went to meet with this dame.
Yes, I wanted to make sure I was on my game, so I got Taco Bell.
No, I said before I meet with this dame, not with this game.
Well, both. I want my
game. Oh, you want to be on your game.
I want to be on my game
for
the
dame.
And I rhymed.
That's right.
I was a poet.
Oh, and I didn't even know it.
I should show it to the dame.
Because I don't want to blow it. But she can blow it. Because my name is Gum Cola.
Scum Gula on the case.
I'm going to pass out.
Because I'm Gum Cola.
I was meeting this dame, Nakia Hall. Nakia Hall. She was a beautiful 45-year-old lady. She struck me with how fast she needed to get her dinner.
I knew that
40 miles per
I
hour.
I knew that somebody driving that fast.
And driving to a concrete island.
That they were serious about their love for Taco Bell. That only they could match my passion for Taco Bell. Because I'm Gum Cola. Oh my god.
Gum Cola signing off.
I don't know why I ended that one line like that. Because I'm Gum Cola.
That made me so happy. We haven't pulled out the
I love. I know. I
the
love
film
the
film noir.
The film noir music. The LA from LA noir, right?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Gumshoe Cola.
Gumshoe Cola.
He's out and about.
He's a poet and he doesn't know it, but he still wants her to blow.
Yep.
Because he's Gum Cola.
Old Gum Cola.
Little old Gum Cola. Oh, that just strikes me as so funny. But you know what else strikes me as funny is this next one. It's just a very, very simple title. We simply call it Thick Poo, episode 147.
And boy, this one, this story, this guy has no idea how police officers work.
Okay.
A man is facing charges after he claimed to be a police officer and then demanded oral sex from a woman at the local Lucky 7 food mart.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
That's awful. I want to know what his excuse was. Ma'am, I heard that there was a crime over here, and part of my investigation requires you to perform oral sex on me.
Yes.
You may begin. Commence at once. I don't know why he's like you speaking so begin. Properly. You may begin. Start. Chop, chop. Post haste. Commence sucking. So I'm assuming that she didn't go along with it.
All right. Now, a real officer that was on his routine patrol.
He goes, wait, we can do that? He's like, oh, my God.
I guess I didn't read the handbook.
Yeah. It's like in fine print on the last page. You can legally make anyone suck your yeah.
I know it's something to do with sex.
I was going to say an offensive word that I'm not allowed to say.
All right, so a real officer was on his routine patrol when he saw 68-year-old Roger Wayne Runyon poking a woman in the chest near the front of the store.
Poking her in the chest?
Yep.
What the hell's going on here?
He's
like, come on. Come on. Suck. Suck me. Like, what is... Like, is he just like, come on. Come on.
Runyon claimed that the woman, who is identified as Teresa Sessions, had walked up to his car. Sessions told police that Runyon had waved her over to his car and offered her $20 for oral sex.
At least she was offering to pay.
When she refused his offer, he told her that, surprise, I'm a police officer, and that, quote, I'm going to take you to jail if you don't give me that oral sex.
Wow.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Take her to jail for what?
I love how he says, surprise!
Yeah, you know, like, surprise!
Gotcha!
Yeah, gotcha. You know? Oh, you should have seen the look on your face, but seriously, get on your knees.
I know it's something to do with sex.
Oh my god, that's awful. Oh my god.
When the real cop showed up and investigated him, they found that Runyon had a badge around his neck. Police said that the badge, I love this part.
Okay.
The police said that the badge around his neck, first off, most police officers don't wear the badge around the neck.
Yeah.
Only like DEA officials or like ATF.
Yeah.
You know, something with like federal credentials wear like something around their neck.
Right.
A local cop doesn't wear his badge on his
neck. No, not at all.
They don't do
all.
That. All right. So first off, he has the badge on his neck.
What's he think? This is like a TV show or something?
Yeah. And
His badge read, quote, Florida Investigator Concealed Permit Unit.
What does that even mean? Concealed yeah. Permit Unit.
It's not a concealed permit you're wearing it around your neck.
Oh my God. Wow. He really put, there was like little to no effort put into that.
No. No. Florida Investigator Concealed Look, Permit Unit.
If you are going to impersonate a law officer, which is a big crime.
Yes.
At least give it 100%.
Do some research.
Especially if you're going to try and get a blowjob from somebody. Come on. Lack of effort.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I like also how he says, I'm going to arrest you if you don't give me a blowjob. For what? What's the crime? Not giving a blowjob? First degree not blowing me? So it was predetermined that you weren't going to blow me? Like how?
First degree blue balling.
There you go. What a heinous crime.
Yeah, man.
That's like
stand.
A special victims unit crime right there in New York City. Members of an elite task force or whatever it is.
Yes, it's time for Florida Investigators Concealed Permit Unit.
Such a catchy title.
It was a tough beat, and I needed
a tough beat.
I needed some relief. It was a long day. My badge was hanging around my necklace. I was sitting I was sitting outside the local food mart when I needed some relief. A hot woman was over near the food mart, and I poked her in that chest. And I said, hey, you need to help me out, or you're obstructing justice.
Yes, she's obstructing justice. I love how you're just sitting outside a food mart, and you're like, I could use some relief. What are you doing outside the food mart that you're in that position in the first place?
Coming up next on the Florida Investigator Concealed Permit Unit.
Oh, my God. Oh, Florida Investigator Concealed
Permit Unit. FICPU. FICPU. Coming up. I work for FICPU.
Everything about this story is amazing. FICPU.
Yes. Come tonight on NBC.
Law and Order. FICPU. In Florida. An elite task force. Called the Florida Investigator Concealed Permit Unit. Make it their job to get blowjobs from strangers.
They work a tough beat. They need the relief after work. Located at your local Lucky 7 food mart.
What, the entire unit is just based out of the food mart? I'm so confused about this show right now.
Yes, that's their headquarters. It's just Lucky 7 food marts.
I bagged another perp. What'd she do this time? She didn't blow me. Booker Lou. It's a hit drama coming to NBC.
I forgot the last portion of this story.
Oh, okay. Yeah, how did this all resolve? We kind of got off on a tangent there.
Yes. So the cops actually confronted him as to why he was in the area and asked him what he was working on. He said, quote, I am an official, and I am...
Well, thank God we cleared that one up. I'm an official. Oh, very well, then. Continue. He just goes back to jabbing this woman in the chest.
He said, quote, I'm an official, and I am now invoking my Fifth Amendment right. We are
what?
Done talking. I don't like you or your department.
What is this department? The entire police force?
Like, whatever part of the police force that isn't part of the Florida Investigator Concealed Permit Unit.
Oh, my God. I'm invoking my Fifth Amendment right.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how it works.
So Runyon is now facing charges of battery, impersonation of a police officer, and procuring for prostitution.
if you had just gone for the prostitution without the impersonating a police officer, it probably wouldn't be that serious. Yeah, because impersonating a police officer is a super serious crime, apparently. Yeah.
Pretty sure it's a felony.
I think it is. Well, you live and you learn.
Unless you're a part of the Florida Investigator Concealed Permit Unit.
Oh, my God. I love it. I can't wait for that to air on NBC.
Rocking the streets with their Fifth Amendment rights.
They live above the law.
And they don't like other cops in their own unit.
They're very territorial when it comes to the Lucky Seven Food Mart.
Hey.
Now they're like a street gang or something.
All you pigs, don't you come around the Lucky Seven Food Mart.
Yeah.
That's our turf.
This is our turf here.
This is our case. Don't you supersede our case here. We're doing a deep undercover prostitution sting.
Yeah, very deep.
Yes, we're actually so deep we're part of it.
Yeah. We're now pimps.
Yes.
Whoops. It's all part of the job in the thick poo.
Tune in this Friday for Florida Investigator Concealed Permit Unit.
Oh, my God.
Right after Boy Meets World.
Hey, Sean. It's like a heartwarming moment. Do-do-do-do-do.
Up next. Thick poo.
I love how there's like not a lot of room for expanding though. Every episode is just the same thing. They try and get a blowjob from a random stranger and then arrest that stranger when they won't do it.
Yeah.
Oh.
8:30, Boy Meets World. 9:00, Florida Investigator Concealed Permit Unit. I think that's a winning lineup.
You gotta love the thick poo. That's one of my favorite stories
ever.
Oh man. I love the evolution of it. You know, it's like you find this one little thing in the story and it just spirals out of control. You know, it was the name of the unit he came up with that inspired everything.
Thick poo.
Thick poo.
Love it.
Oh, but this next case on the docket is just as interesting. Next up, it's The Curious Case of DeJesus, episode 139.
Boy, man, this guy, I need to know what his daily life is, because this man is just, he's on a different plane.
Okay.
A naked man in Florida is accused of driving 110 miles per hour across Alligator Alley with three naked female passengers as well.
What was he doing? What was his plan?
Yeah.
What's Alligator Alley?
I guess it's a major road in this town. Alligator Alley.
Okay.
Around 3 p.m. This is not
at
night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is the middle of the day.
Yes. 3 p.m. Authorities began receiving calls of a Cadillac driving recklessly on a major highway called Alligator Alley. The car was going on and off the road. According to the arrest report, 10 minutes later, a Florida Highway Patrol trooper spotted the car as it was traveling west towards the Naples area. The trooper estimated the vehicle speed was over 110 miles per hour.
Hey, he was booking it.
Yeah. The trooper was able to stop the car. He noticed that when he pulled over the driver had no shirt and no pants on. He also had an open 12-pack of Corona beer.
Ah.
And three naked women in the car as well. When he asked what his name was, he said, "My name is DeJesus." It's him!
It's him!
Behold!
DeJesus?
Yeah.
So is that DeJesus like a Hispanic name or?
I have no idea. DeJesus.
So, DeJesus.
DeJesus.
The Jesus.
Yeah.
I am the Jesus. His Lord and Savior, DeJesus.
Let's recap, all right? This is in the middle of the afternoon, broad daylight. He has three naked women in the car,
and he's speeding 110 miles on Alligator Alley.
Man, he's Jesus. He can do whatever he wants. You don't tell Jesus what he can and can't do. If he wants to drive 110 miles an hour down a road named after alligators with three naked women with a 12-pack of Corona, he can do that. That's fine by his standards.
Jesus.
You said it, man. Nobody f*** with the Jesus.
Yes, this is it. It's the Big Lebowski.
That's it.
That's the only explanation.
That's what it is.
This must be the Big Lebowski.
Jesus.
You said it, man. Nobody f*** with the Jesus.
Clearly.
Yeah.
I want to know what his plans were, though.
Yeah.
Something involving three naked women is always a good idea.
What was the plan going to be here?
That's why he was driving 110 miles an hour.
Yeah. They need to accelerate plans.
Yeah. I mean, look, those hookers' time is valuable. He's only got an hour, you know?
According to the cops, the Jesus smelled of alcohol, slurred his speech, and had bloodshot eyes. When he stepped out of the vehicle to put some pants on, he stumbled and fell over. Inside the car, the trooper found empty bottles of beer and an empty bottle of Crown Royal whiskey.
Oh, wow.
DeJesus declined to perform field sobriety tests and was arrested. In addition to the DUI charge, he is also facing a misdemeanor charge of driving without a license.
Jesus.
You said it, man. Nobody f*** with the Jesus.
Important question, though. What happened to the three naked ladies?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh.
The cops took them.
I was just going to say that.
The cops got them.
You took the words right out of my effing face.
Yep, the cops got them.
Nobody's going to get that quote that I just said. But yeah, the cops took them.
Yep.
I mean, what else are you going to do? You're there in a...
evidence.
Bag the evidence, boys.
Yep.
Just put them in giant Ziploc bags.
Yep. I need to examine them for further evidence.
Yeah, how are you going to examine them?
With my hands.
Oh, yes. This evidence is firm. But supple. Very smooth evidence.
Yes, very, very firm.
Perky evidence.
So there you go.
If I was
a sheriff, I guess.
You do a lot of the evidence examining.
Yes, a lot.
Well, you know, you're professional. You take your job seriously.
All right. Very busy.
That's right. Exactly. A lot of evidence to examine.
Yes.
Oh, boy. But you know what? It's time to wrap this segment up, and I can't think of a better story to wrap it up with than one of the first detective/Law and Order stories we ever did. Going all the way back to the beginning, Rich. Episode 15. The last case on the docket, Kindergarten Chaos. Episode 15.
In Cleveland, 8 people were arrested when there was a brawl at a kindergarten graduation ceremony.
Another fighting story.
Yeah, and this time not for a birthday. This was for a kindergarten graduation party.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Okay, what was this fight about?
A brawl that started over spilled punch at a kid.
No way. Come on, really?
Yep.
A whole entire brawl because of spilled punch.
Yep, spilled punch at a kindergarten graduation ceremony. it started out that kind of punch. It didn't start out as that kind of punch, but it ended in
they
that kind of punch.
They started throwing punches because of the punch.
Yep.
They punch the punch with punch.
Are
you done?
I was trying to match however many punches you said there.
Oh, okay. So how does it say how many people were involved? Is it like the last one was just this massive fight?
Authorities said 8 people were arrested.
Oh, that's hardly a brawl.
And oh my gosh, are you ready for this?
Okay.
Police had to be called on the scene and started calming down people when one participant pulled out a pipe.
Wait, what? What type of pipe?
A pipe.
Like a lead pipe?
Yep.
Why do you keep a lead pipe with you?
And another person pulled out a hammer.
What are they doing?
They're getting ready to build something. They're building the steel cage that they're about to fight in.
Put me in a cage. Will that S.O.B. please put me in a cage? A cage, a cage.
I can just imagine the guy, though, before they're getting ready to leave. They're like, Barbara, honey, did you put my steel pipe in your purse?
I might need that tonight.
I might need that tonight at the kindergarten graduation. You never know whose brains I might need to bash out. Oh, why?
Let's get ready to rumble!
Now, I've had stuff spilled, and nobody has come to fighting. I mean, you know, pipes and hammers, you know, that's just taking it to a whole new level. When the punch spilled, did somebody, like, throw it at somebody, or was it, like, an innocent, like, oh, I knocked over a cup?
Two teenage girls apparently started hitting each other.
Those teenagers.
After one of them spilled punch on the other, and then their families joined in.
Really? What an example are they setting for those kindergartners?
The fight involved adults and minors.
Wow.
Luckily, no one was hurt in the incident. It isn't clear whether the hammer and the pipe were brought to the school or were grabbed during the fight.
So, wait. It's weird enough if they brought it. It's even stranger if a lead pipe and a hammer were just lying around at a kindergarten graduation.
The detective on the case, Jennifer.
There's a detective on this case? Really? Well, it seems that the pipe was over here.
I have to...
I was just going down on a regular Friday night.
A dame came into my office. She said she needed help with something. I'd promised to get out of the game, but I couldn't refuse. This beautiful blonde standing in the doorway. So, got my hat and my raincoat, headed down to the gymnasium. There was a kindergarten graduation. I remembered my days in kindergarten. Playing with some...
I remember my days with Mike Costanzo in our kindergarten days. One of us would bring a pipe, the other would bring a hammer. We'd repeatedly smack each other on the head.
Get back in character.
But it was all just for the sake of having fun with each other. We didn't have anything better to do.
But everything changed when...
That one night.
When that bitch Amy spilled that punch all over the place.
Right in that Cleveland kindergarten school.
We knew something was going to go down.
We had no idea the scope, as 8 people were arrested on that fateful night. No one was hurt.
Are we investigating this, or are we part of the brawl?
I don't know, Mike. That night was so chaotic.
We can't even remember.
My memory's so foggy. Foggy. I can't even speak English.
I'm done. I can't do it. Faint hockey? What did you say?
I said hoggy. I mixed hazy and foggy together, and I said hoggy.
Hoggy dickles. So you mix your words together,
yes,
too,
I did.
Huh?
There we go. Yeah, we did. You bring the pipe, and I'll bring the hammer. There we go. The detective, Jennifer Siaka, says that no one was hurt, and she believes that somebody went into the janitor's supply during the initial breakout of the fight and pulled a pipe and a hammer. No charges were immediately filed, but those arrested were booked for aggravated rioting.
Aggravated rioting? Wow.
It was a crazy night. I'll never forget it.
Aggravating rioting was the charge.
I hadn't seen a fight like that since
the birthday,
preschool.
The birthday bash of May 2013.
And there were strippers at that event, too.
Strippers and Chuck E. Cheese. The smoke hung in the air like hockey curtains.
Okay, hockey curtains?
Well, you're the one that came up with the word. It's hazy and foggy.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, anyway, so...
Anyway. So, they were arrested, right?
Yeah, but they weren't booked on anything. The charges were dropped immediately.
Ah.
Officers quickly restored order, and no one got hurt.
Only in Ohio.
It's so bad they needed a detective on the case, really?
Well, when you bust out the pipes and the hammers, let's chart the trajectory of the hammer. Oh, God.
My career at the time wasn't going anywhere. I was just drinking in my office. Then I got a call on the police scanner. Said something about a kindergarten bash going wrong. I don't know. I thought it was a stripper event. So I went. It turns out it was actually about kindergartners. My life is full of misery.
I was disappointed.
And sadness here in the hells of Ohio.
I was disappointing. I was fully expecting there to be strippers. I don't know why I associated strippers with kindergarten. That's just the way our minds work here in Cleveland, Ohio.
I thought it was a teacher gone wrong. But it turns out it was actually kindergarten kids, and that's not really what I do. So I sat back and I had another drink. And let them bust out the pipe and the hammer. I don't really care. Let them fight. I don't care.
We should there do more go. Stories in film noir style.
There you go, folks. That's our special Law and Order themed odd news.
Very dramatic.
We're on the case.
Yeah, very professional as well.
Ohio, Florida, Taco Bell.
It's a lot of Ohio and Florida.
Yeah.
Pretty sure there were two of each, yeah, at least.
They're going back and forth.
Yeah.
Nachos, Taco Bell, Gun Cola.
Gum Cola. Because yeah. I'm Gum Cola.
Because I'm Gum Cola. Yep.
Thick poo, of course.
Classics.
And kindergartners.
Yep. So there you go. That's the odd news. The special Law & Order themed odd news for you. But before we wrap this one up, let's go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned on this episode?
I learned that we would be terrible detectives.
Yep.
Just absolutely awful.
Yep, that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, so if you're ever in need of legal counsel or police help, don't contact us. I don't know why you would contact us.
Yeah.
But don't do that. Do you have us on emergency speed dial? I don't know. Call the Crispy Noodle.
Don't do it.
They can crack jokes about my predicament. No, don't do that. I also learned that Chris Christie is kind of annoying when it comes to sports.
He's a douchebag.
Just a little bit. Just a tiny bit. Yep. But our offer still stands. He can come here to Philly. We'll take him to a Phillies game. We'll get a couple of cheesesteaks, a couple of drinks, and we'll show him that Philly fans aren't that terrible.
And he better pay that cheap bastard.
That's right.
All right.
That's right. There I agree.
Go. I think that stands. There you go. And
that's what I learned. What have you learned?
I've learned that the end of the world's coming with Alex Jones, because
it's always the end of the world with Alex Jones.
That sound clip is brilliant. He's back in full form.
It's either spy drones, a hidden bunker, satanic rituals. It's always something.
Yep. There you go, folks. That's what we've learned in this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Woo. Good episode.
Yeah, another good one.
I'm amazed we're able to get it all together.
Yeah.
Between everything happening this week. Jury duty.
It's been very busy.
Yeah. But here we are, recording late at night, making sure that...
Good morning, everyone!
Yeah. Yeah, we recorded this after midnight, so this episode goes live in 10 hours.
Yeah. It's a late one, but it's a good one.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening, and being subscribed to the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you aren't, make sure that you do so, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, and make sure you get all the news on our Facebook page. Search for The Crispy Noodle and follow us on Twitter @The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find video noodles, best bits, interviews, and a whole lot more. But as Rich pointed out, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
Yeah, very important. We have to mention it twice.
That's right. I was like, where's he going? He's taking my lines.
Seriously, we want you to subscribe.
Yes, please do. And leave a rating and a review if you feel so inclined.
All important. So thank you if you do that. We also have a SoundCloud page where you have the mini noodles, which are the best bits of the show, condensed to a 1 to 2 minute promo that's easy to share and laugh. If you have a quick few minutes and you need something to put a smile on your face, go to the SoundCloud page and search the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I'm at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters and let us know what's going on. And, you know, with Oscars coming up, let us know what you think. Did you bet money? Did you win money? If you did, you should give us some.
Sure. Are we propositioning our fans for money?
I'm just saying, you probably bet with our odds knowledge.
That's right. So, I think we got a kickback.
You know, a small cut. Nothing bad.
Just tiny, like 60, 70%. Just a small cut.
Something.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
Hashtag Oscars, hashtag Law and Order.
There you go. But for now, that will do it for us. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That'll do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Okay, listen up, everybody. I'm Donald Trump. You might remember me from such elections as the 2016 election. It was the biggest election, the best election, mostly because I won. Now, if you like podcasts, and I like podcasts, let me tell you about podcasts. I've listened to some podcasts in my time because I'm Donald Trump, and I listen to the best podcasts. And the best podcast I listen to is my own podcast. We're the best at the podcasting. But if I had to pick a second podcast, it would be the Crispy Noodle Podcast. It's the best podcast for 2017. Crispy Noodle Podcast, 2017.